some years when he talked about body cryopreservations. About 10 years ago, I heard about this company that for $100,000, they would cryopreserve your entire body. You would sign a contract. When you die, they just put in the freezer and that's it. Well, today you would think it would be a lot more expensive. But they had something that they said, if you think it's too expensive and you don't have $100,000, for $10,000, they would cryopreserve your head. So, and I'm not kidding, they were pretty serious about it. So, okay, thanks for the introduction. Thanks, Amir, for the invitation to speak. My topic is on cryopreservation of orchid seeds, protocorms, and pollen. I will focus mostly on results of previous work that we have performed through the years. The protocols, I'm not getting into too much detail, but all this work is published, and I can make it available to anyone interested. You can send me an email, and we have PDFs of all the presentations. So starting with orchids, why orchids? Well, particularly in the U.S., the production of orchids is really large. They represent about $93 million, with California leading, then $43 million in Florida, and Hawaii following $10 million. The U.S. is the largest importer, and they import mostly from countries like those, Taiwan, Thailand, Italy, U.K., etc. And orchids used to be the number two potted flowering plants, just behind poinsettias. But this year, they became number one. So there is a market there. And when you look at the change in wholesale value of potted flowering plants, orchids are the one that definitely show a very significant growth. So that's the reason why they are economically important. But why orchids? Well, why are they so interesting? There are about 150 genera of orchids. We're talking about over 25,000 species that we know. And there are still new species being found. Hybrids, over 100,000 hybrids created by man, and they're very popular. They are used as ornamental plants mainly, also as medicinal plants. For food, if you had anything with vanilla today, you ate an orchid. And they're increased popularity. They're becoming very popular. You find them in any grocery stores now, Lowe's, Home Depot, all these mass stores. But why orchid conservation? Well, most orchids are threatened, endangered, or rare, and they are indicator species to the health of a habitat. Basically, habitat destruction, overcollection, invasive species, declining pollinators, all those factors have contributed to the decline in orchid populations. And because also they rely on specialized propagation, the association with mycorrhizae of fungi for germination, they have been considered endangered or rare. And human activities have contributed to all that. So through the Convention on International Trade of Endangered Species, all orchids are listed there. So there is a need for conservation. Right here, I illustrate two orchids, the Platanthera leucophyllea and Platanthera preclara, two American orchids that are considered endangered. So why cryopreservation of orchids? Is a safe, cost-efficient method for long-term storage. We can use that for seed storage, for preservation or distribution, protocorm storage as an alternative to seed storage, and also pollen storage for breeding. In South Florida, a lot of growers like to create hybrids, and sometimes they have the pollen available, but they don't have the other flower available. So if you can preserve the pollen and later on perform your cross, that would be perfect. So our work and this presentation will focus on some of the work that we developed with seeds, and we work with dendrobium hybrids. We also work with Oncidium flexuosum. Protocorms, we work with dendrobium mobile and some other dendrobium hybrids, and pollen, mainly dendrobium hybrids. So I will summarize basically the results of that work, or those works. First one, vitrification, which Amir already mentioned. We work with dendrobium hybrids. This was published back in 2007. Basically, the idea was to evaluate in vitro germination plant growth from cryopreserved seeds. It was our first work with orchids. We work with mature seeds. We look at seed size, seed number in the capsule. We measure seed moisture after drying at 103 degrees for 17 hours. Here's one detail. We, at that time, we were sterilizing our seeds, and we were thinking, wow, if we measure the moisture content pre-disinfection, then if we sterilize our seeds, you're adding more moisture to it. So we measure moisture pre-disinfection and post-disinfection. Very little change in the moisture content, so that was good. We measure seed viability at the time using the dye fluorescent diacetate. But we also did seed germination to confirm that we were getting the same, let's say, truthful viability. And the method was vitrification using the pre-vitrification solution number 2, which is a combination of glycerol, ethylene, glycol, DMSO, in a half MS medium with sucrose. So I'll go straight to the results. Here, I will explain to you the controls and the different treatments. Our control number 1 there, what we had is basically seeds at room temperature, no PVS2, no liquid nitrogen. So straight germination, just to prove our point. And we got between 63, 64 to 96% germination. Our control 2, we put our seeds in ice. We left them in PVS2 for 3 hours, no liquid nitrogen. We obtained similar results to the control, just showing in this case the PVS2 will not be harmful to the seeds. So the germination rates were the same. Our control 3, we got room temperature, PVS2 for just 30 seconds, and then we dumped them in liquid nitrogen just to try a quick cryopreservation. It didn't work well, as you can see under number 3 there. Our germination rates were really low. And if you control 4, room temperature, no PVS2, straight into liquid nitrogen. Basically everything died, nothing survived. So our treatments were to do, and that was from 1 to 5 actually, PVS2 pre-cooling of those seeds for 1 hour, 2, 3, and 5 hours in ice, and then submitting them to liquid nitrogen. And our liquid nitrogen treatment was for 14 days. Here I just included 1, 2, and 3 hours because past that we really didn't have any enhancement. But what we found out is basically this. Let me show you. Well, I should have showed this before. So that's our first control, which corresponds to our germination. There's our control 2, which is very similar. Control 3, reduced germination. Control 4, everything died. And for our treatments, we basically didn't see any significant difference between the different treatments, which led us to the conclusion that if you put your seeds in PVS2 under pre-cooling conditions, ice, for 1 hour, that's sufficient to give you a good rate of germination. And that rate of germination will be about 60% or a little bit over 60% of your original germination. So that's pretty good for cryopreservation. In cryopreservation, you're considered to have a successful protocol when you have over 50% of your material surviving. So that was pretty good. So that's an illustration of ORCID protocorms, germination. Here you see a little leaflet with root primordia forming. And we were able to regenerate plants, transfer them to the greenhouse. So they were very happy. Our second work, we work with Dendrobium Mobile. This time, this is a work with protocorms, the 60-day-old protocorms. They're very small protocorms. We put them in liquid nitrogen for 3 months. And these are the different treatments. So bear with me a little bit so I can explain to you. Treatment 1 was control. No glycerol, no sucrose, no PVS2, no fluoroglucinol. In this case, we look at fluoroglucinol. What is fluoroglucinol? It's actually an antioxidant and an alternative to DMSO. It's actually non-toxic, and it has been shown to promote even growth of shoots in vitro. So we thought that fluoroglucinol could have a significant impact in a protocol for cryopreservation. So we decided to test that. It had been tested before in human tissues, but never in plants. So our control had nothing, basically, again, straight germination. Another control, glycerol with PVS2, another one, sucrose with PVS2, And the third one, glycerol combined with sucrose and PVS2. And our treatments are similar to the controls, plus adding the fluoroglycinol to see the effect of fluoroglycinol on cryopreservation. Here again, the results is a big table. I would just go straight to the main point here. For all the different treatments, we didn't see much enhancement, except for when we add fluoroglycinol, which we got really good results. And in terms of protocorms generating seedlings here, we got about 62% successfully regenerating. So we immediately saw there a benefit of using fluoroglycinol. Now, as we added sucrose, or a combination of glycerol with sucrose, it didn't seem to enhance cryopreservation. So just by using glycerol and PVS2 and fluoroglycinol, that was sufficient to give us a pretty good result. So we were pretty happy with that. And that, again, gave us some interesting points. Those are the protocorms germinating. A few didn't make it, of course. We got a 62% survival, but we were able, again, to regenerate healthy plants, and they did pretty well. So that was some breakthrough work. The next, we did, again, fluoroglycinol, but then we used SuperCool, which is basically an antifreeze solution, and we want to see how fluoroglycinol and SuperCool compare. SuperCool is a commercial product. We work in this case not with protocorms, but with mature seeds. Again, we check for germination, and our liquid nitrogen treatment was for 60 minutes. A very simple work in this case, control, no PVS2, no fluoroglycinol, no SuperCool. Then we have PVS2 for 60 minutes with no addition of any other product. PVS2 with fluoroglycinol, PVS2 with SuperCool, and finally PVS2 with fluoroglycinol and SuperCool, trying to see if there was some synergy between fluoroglycinol and SuperCool in enhancing cryopreservation. Again, results, and very clear here. The control, very low germination. PVS2, definitely, we know already the PVS2 can enhance survival and germination, so we got good results. But once we add a fluoroglycinol, that was tremendous. That was very close to the original germination rate that we obtained just by doing the germination test. As we add SuperCool, we dropped that. So SuperCool was not that efficient. It was comparable to PVS2. So in that case, it's just better to use PVS2 alone. And as we combine fluoroglycinol with SuperCool, we go back to the rates compared to fluoroglycinol alone. So again, just to show the point that fluoroglycinol was really efficient in that process, and we're positive that fluoroglycinol can be a safe and good additive for cryopreservation protocols. Again, protocorms germinating little plants. Just a comparison between PVS2 alone and PVS2 with 1% fluoroglycinol. We got good plants also. And finally, cryopreservation of orchid pollen. Here we work with dendrobium hybrids. We collected pollinia and store in a desiccator, and we measure moisture content, 5 to 8%. And we use vitrification on the liquid nitrogen for 48 hours. Again, the point here was to preserve pollen, thinking about performing crosses at a later date. And a lot of work done previously with cryopreservation of pollen, a lot of authors use just the in vitro germination of pollen to measure success. We did a little bit different. We got the pollen, and we actually pollinated the flowers to make sure that they would take it. And sure enough, just these are all the different treatments. We did something similar to that very first experiment where we use pre-cooling under 1 to 4 hours in ice. We use pollen at room temperature. To summarize this entire thing, we didn't see any significant difference among any treatments and control. And that was beautiful. We just found out that by just dumping the pollinia into liquid nitrogen, that's sufficient enough to allow preservation, and you can take the pollinia out, pollinate the flowers, and they would take it. Our rate of success between 60 and 80% compared to the direct pollination. So that was beautiful. And I think it's probably because of the waxy composition of the pollinia. We would need a little more studies to do that. So that's basically it, what I wanted to show. I need to acknowledge those guys. Virginia was the pioneer in our lab. She's now a professor in Brazil. Renato was also a student in my lab. He's now back doing a postdoc in Brazil. And Dr. Ricardo Faria, he is already a professor who did the work with Androbin with us. And they are the ones who basically perform all this work under my guidance. And funny enough, last year they were in a meeting together, and they took this picture and sent to me. So it's good to see your people together. And that's all. Thank you very much. And